The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the full-time report. It is Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down here. And Atlanta United picks up a 4-1 victory tonight over Atlas to wrap up their league.
Four goals for Atlanta. Yeah, that's where I thought you were going with it.
That's right. I can't play too many cartoons.
Count Von Count.
But it is a 4-1 win for Atlanta United, and Madison Cruz was down on the field just as they blew the final whistle and caught up with tonight's acting manager, assistant coach Kenny Miller.
All right, down here with assistant coach Kenny Miller. Coach, congrats on the win. I want to talk about the young players you guys brought in today. What did you make of their performance tonight for you guys?
You know, they've been building over the course of the season. Look, young Cooper, obviously Nix came in as well, did a fantastic job. Sal, I think there was four debuts, if you can count Leo as well. I mean, they've been excellent. Will Riley, again, we spoke about him yesterday pre-match, and he goes in, he does the job, whether it's back-to-back games, whether he comes on, whether it's one game every 10, he goes in and does the job. And I think the thing we were looking forward to tonight, to have a look at, to see if we could continue progressing what we've been doing well over the last month, even with the changes that we made. And I think we succeeded there. And tonight, we took our chances, we got our goals in front, and we were able to enjoy it a little bit more. But I thought the young players were excellent. It just goes to show where the club's at. It's in a good position when you've got that many players kind of pushing the older guys to get into the lineup. It's always good for competition.
Nick Sesek was one as well, got his first assist with the first team tonight. I mean, what have you seen from him, not only in preseason, but whenever he comes up to train with you guys in the first team?
Well, he gives you everything, every single day. You know, he does the right things, he's a top professional, and he's got his chance tonight. Yeah, there's injuries and we're rotating the squad and people will say it's a meaningless game, but we talked about this yesterday. This is not a meaningless game for us. It was important that we stop the rot. We've not won in 10. We've got a win tonight. And like we talked yesterday about building momentum going into these last 10 games. And Nick's earned that opportunity. That's why he's got the call-up. You know, when he comes in, listen, he's cramping up at the end because he gave everything he's got. But we've seen early in pre-season when he came away with us, he's someone we could trust. You know, tonight he got his opportunity and I'm delighted for him.
Going up against Atlas, we mentioned it a little bit, especially in training yesterday, about dealing with Atlas's press. How do you think the team managed that today in the game?
I thought the first half we managed it very well. Obviously when you get a goal early, it allows you to, not defend it, but allows you to kind of pick and choose your moments when we go in high press. But we dealt with it pretty well in the first half. Second half, again, you're 3-0 down. You're expecting them to have a little bit more of the ball. You're expecting us to sink a little bit deeper and defend in a 4-4-2, which we did. But we never gave a lot up. We never gave a lot of chances up. And we always looked a threat on the counter. But again, we got the ball wide. We switched the play. We created some really, really good goals tonight. So absolutely delighted for the lads. They've got the result. And I think it's what they deserved over the last month or so.
Yeah, last question for you. Heading into Montreal, how important is this win tonight to carry over the momentum for a lot of players and even for the team heading into Saturday's match?
It's crucial for us. It really is. I mean, we talked about the long winless run. We've stopped that tonight, but all eyes go on to Saturday against Montreal. We've got 10 games left, and it was important that we stopped that run and we got back to winning ways, particularly at home, which we've done, and we can really build momentum going into these last 10 MLS games and hopefully finish the season on a real positive note.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
That was Matty Cruz with William Wallace. Kenny Miller, acting Atlanta United manager. Of course, Ronnie Dyla got the red card there. Look, said a lot of things, mm-hmm. and I think we're going to take some time to break down some of the individual efforts from the youngsters as we go throughout the show here, John. Mm-hmm. We'll also talk about how this possibly could translate to the return of MLS play when they get there on Saturday. But first things first, I think to get 3 points, to win your first League's Cup match, you knew this game wasn't going to get you to a spot where you can advance. They knew that as well. And I can't speak to their roster construction and what's going on with their season.
I mean, you did not have Matias Kokoro because of the red. You did have some rotation.
Well, but just in general, where they're at in their season early, three games in, versus where Atlanta United is. Right. Looking for reason to believe, to have there. All of the things that went into today. Yes, it at the same time, this win does not matter, but there's certainly an argument, John, that this win does matter, especially considering who you put out there and how they looked.
Yeah, and that's the big thing, is it doesn't matter. I mean, the result wasn't going to get you into a quarterfinal, but what this did give Kenny Miller, Ronnie Dyla, the Atlanta United staff, is it gave an opportunity to look at a couple of other folks as you're heading to this trip to Montreal on the weekend and figure out, okay, where are we? Where are folks physically? I figured it was going to be a mix, and we can get into the starting 11 as we go, but I figured it was going to be a mix. You figured you were going to see some of your standard starting 11 in quotation marks. You didn't know how many minutes they were going to go. We did see some substitutions after 45. We saw some after 60. Was it one where you were going to kind of kick the tires on some of the younger players, try and see where you were with some of your veterans, you know, make sure that the engine stayed warm in a midweek match? Because if you're playing in rhythm, like we've seen with Saba Lobjanidze and a couple of others like Bart, then you continue to keep their momentum going forward into the matchup on the weekend. So there were a couple of different things in play in trying to figure out what your 11 was going to look like, resting folks, et cetera. And so then in this three bears approach of trying to figure out what you were going to do, then you end up with a lot of different results from a lot of the different angles that you were trying to attack here looking at the players.
And I think the other important thing, and we talk about this, and this statistical recap is brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. It's important to watch a match. Mm-hmm. You can't just pull up the box score later in the day and say this is how it went. Atlas had a 55 to 45% edge in possession. You shrug your shoulders. That's my point. Mm-hmm. You got to watch the match to get a feel for it. Atlas doubled up Atlanta in shots 18-9. You shrug your shoulders again. I get it. 10 shots on goal for Atlas, just 4 for Atlanta United. The XG did favor Atlanta United 2.1 to 1.2. But again, this is a match where if you sit here and watched it from beginning to end, with the exception of a quick moment or two early on, it felt like Atlanta got their goal in the 8th minute, and it felt like they were in control. There was never a situation, and I know Atlas had... There was almost a turnover late that almost led to a goal. They eventually got one off a free kick. But all of that was always coming up short. This was a game that, from that 8th-minute goal on, Atlanta was in complete control of. They go to half up 3-0. The game's effectively over at that point. And you know Atlas isn't coming out to fight that much, right? Because it doesn't mean anything.
Well, unless they get the hairdryer from Gonzalo at the half.
Do you think he's giving that to them, though?
It's like, look, you know, I want you to go out there in the second 45, and I want you to show me something, because you're leaving here and you're heading to your Liga MX play.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to see who's motivated in a situation where you're 3 goals down, and you did see, you know, a couple of folks with some, you know, the goal that broke the shutout with less than 10 to go. I want to see, in a situation like this when you're trailing, I want to see who's still – wants to adhere to the game plan, still wants to chase after some kind of a result, who wants to save face, those kinds of things. That's the kind of conversation I'm having if I'm down 3-0 at the break. I want to see who's going to respond down 3-0 heading into the second 45.
And you may have gotten a little bit of that, but still, and once you get to 3-0, even for Atlanta United, you expect to be able to play that one out, and they certainly did, eventually taking a 4-1 win over Atlas. Before we hit a break and get to so many other things the rest of the show, including one of the dumbest questions that I still feel compelled to ask you.
Okay.
And a couple of other things. We'll also take a look at some of the performances individually, especially from the youngsters today, more specifically than the vets and the mainstay starters.
Right.
We do have to hand out, unofficially now, a man of the match. So who do we got?
Saba Lobjanidze, 76 minutes, had the goal off of the free kick. 31 touches, 18 to 21 passing at 86%. Had obviously the one shot on target. Only lost one duel on the evening, and he also had 2 tackles on defense. So it goes to Saba tonight as our player of the match.
Yeah, and Saba's been on fire throughout League's Cup. And again, unfortunately, none of this.
Well,
goes
no,
to
but
the,
it goes to that point
talent,
where I was discussing about rhythm.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
you've got a guy in rhythm like we're seeing with Saba,
you can't. Right now, the way he's going,
yeah.
you just can't. And you got to figure what that means for Luke Brennan. You got to figure what that means for Almiron. Maybe they're whatever you want to do. I mean, Lotte Loth wasn't even on the team today. This is a question Ronnie Dyla has got to answer, because I'm with you. The way that Saba has been not just creating for himself, creating for others, that guy that we had seen before – appears back, and he is certainly dangerous, be it on the left side or the right side right now. All right, when we come back, we'll take a listen back to the highlights for Atlanta United. They do get a 4-1 win in Leagues Cup, taking out Atlas, their first win over a Liga MX squad there in the Leagues Cup. So when we come back, highlights and potentially some more post-game sound from Jason Longshore and Madison Cruz. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I'm Abe Gordon. The full-time report continues in 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Kicking it old school. Song choices. How about that? It's been a while, John.
That's what I figured we'd go.
It's been a while.
We go old school with a twist and discuss the events of the evening. I believe Dom found cut number one, Lil Baby and Kirk Franklin from the Space Jam soundtrack.
It's just the song can just
we
exist.
Win.
It doesn't have to be from the Space Jam soundtrack.
Well, it's just where
there's
I found it.
There's only one Space Jam soundtrack, and it came out in the 90s.
I'm aware of your position on this argument, sir, but it was the easiest place that I could find said song.
Just tell him the
song,
man.
And with Alexei Medanchuk's appreciation for Lil Baby, L-I-L Baby, I figured we'd go there.
Understandable. It is Atlanta United's first win, believe it or not, since May 28th, back when they had two straight wins at home, May 25th, May 28th. Their first win since a 3-2 victory over Orlando. Speaking of Maranchuk, he was man of the match that day with a goal and two assists. Do want to listen back to the performance of Maranchuk and others. These highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. Things got going relatively early for Atlanta United. I do think there was a scare. I'm kind of blanking on exactly what it was, but I think there was a scare early on.
Brooks
no
went
problem.
Wide. You had Jamal creating some pressure, and Brooks was wide in the fourth minute. There was a pass to the back post that almost created their first chance.
But a couple moments later, a ball is sentenced into the box, and it is Steon Gregerson gets taken down from behind. Very easy call, very quick call. We'll get to the officiating today. I thought mostly very good. There was one thing I had a slight issue with we'll talk about.
Sure.
Steon gets taken down. It's immediate penalty kick. And then your striker tonight, Jamal Tiare, is ready to take it.
Now stepping away and blowing her whistle. Jamal Tiare against Camilo Vargas. Tiare up to it, strikes it, and scores! Taken penalty by Jamal Tiare. His fourth goal of the season across all competitions, and it's a great start for Atlanta United.
Yeah, I mean, look, really well taken, PK. Obviously, he moves the keeper the wrong direction, but either way, he puts it pretty side net, and there you go. Within 10 minutes, Atlanta United is up 1-0. That holds for a little while. About 25 minutes later, though, Luke Brennan finds some dangerous spots inside the box. He gets closed off, but Alexei Maranchuk is there to clean it up.
But he's able to flick it over to Lennon, who gives it back to Schleach. In the middle to Maranchuk, 40 yards from goal. He turns and drives down the left channel, ahead to Brennan, outside the arc. Back to Maranchuk, tough angle, shot, score! From Russia with one. A little cheeky chip over the head of Camilo Vargas from a tough angle, and Atlanta United, for the first time in what feels like forever, has a two-goal lead.
Yeah, and Maranchuk knew that he just needed to put it on net, and he did that. He kept it under the bar. Really nice touch. and puts that one home. So it is 2-0. That only has to last 5 more minutes. A free kick from the man of the match, Saba Lobjanidze.
3-man wall for Atlas. 38th minute, 2-0 Atlanta. Referee steps away, blows the whistle. Saba going straight for goal. Score! Golazo! Listen all you all, it's a sabotage! And out of nowhere, Atlanta United has a goalieta going against Atlas.
Yeah, a really well-taken kick. Mm-hmm. It probably one of the best free kicks
we've
seen.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is listen to Jason to get the to get your well-taken meter. Jason gives you an ooh, then you know it was a well-taken kick.
It's always interesting, too, to see who takes these. T-Ray takes the penalty kick. Saba takes this free kick when some of your mainstay starters were off resting tonight. So you go to halftime. Up 3-0. You make a couple of subs, and some of the new younger guys combine for a goal in the 68th minute.
We'll dribble parallel to goal, fake the cross, and now drop a cutback pass to Schlesch in the central channel. He fires it off to Sesok on the right side. Sesok with a cross, header, Tokashi, score! The kids are all right. Togashi with his first goal for the first team. He salutes the supporters behind the goal at which he just scored. And Nick Sesok has his first career Atlanta United assist.
Yeah, we're going to spend some time in our next segment.
It was not a teenage wasteland.
No, we're going to spend some time in our next segment breaking down Nick Sesok and a couple of the other new youngsters, mm-hmm. Guys who made their debut tonight for one reason or another. In their performances, it looked like a prototypical Brooks Lennon cross in there from Sesok. Togashi is a guy that just seems to find the back of the net. I think I saw that was his 50th career professional goal tonight, so he knows how to get it done. You go up 4-0. They eventually hit a very nice free kick of their own to make it 4-1. Unable to hold that clean sheet is Jaden Hibbert, who got the start today in place of Brad Guzan. We'll talk about him throughout as well. I hesitate to ask this question. I know how dumb it sounds.
See, but you're hesitating, but you know you're going
to
ask it.
I have to ask it because there are people saying things on social media.
Oh, so we should pay attention to social media 100% of the time.
I want to go ahead and shut it down while we can.
Sure.
Because I think I know it's a nonsensical argument. Jason Longshore almost threw fists at me. When I suggested I was going to ask you this question.
Yeah, all right.
So I'm going to lay it out.
So I don't know what this question is. So
you don't.
I have no prep.
You do.
Sure.
I'm going to lay it out in this manner.
Oh, so you're going to lay out your case, state your case, and then ask the question.
Well, because you're going to agree with me. The same way I tried to explain to Jason.
I'm agreeing with you, but I know this is going
to be
that.
But I have to ask the question.
Okay.
I do believe it is confirmation bias, not real evidence.
Confirmation by association. Got it.
But. There are suggestions on social media of, hey, look at how this team performed while Ronnie Dial is away.
Stop.
I just said that.
Stop.
I just said I don't buy it, but that
is It's not like he wasn't involved in the philosophical breakdown of all the practices and getting the team prepared for the match or anything.
It's complete nonsense. I know that.
That's not even an oy vey. That's an oy gevalt.
I want to ask it so you can shut it down as strongly as you are. You understand why I bring it up. I bring it up so we can shut that down because it is nonsense.
All right, go for it, yeah.
Well, I did, and then you did, and then now we have.
Oh, gosh.
Can we move on now?
Absolutely, positively, stop. Look, I mean, goodness gracious and all ships at sea. Stop.
Look, I just didn't.
Stop 280 characters at a time. Stop.
Hey, man, some of us get 240. Unlimited. It's not me. No, it's 280. I think
280.
You were right. I don't have the blue check mark, so it's not unlimited
and,
for
and
me.
And look, if you're on the butterfly, I know it's the blue butterfly. I know
no,
it's more
no
than that.
That
no, so
don't worry about it. No
just
checking that out.
Stop.
Okay, well, look, we've addressed it. We can move on now.
Now I've got a migraine.
Well, we got 5 minutes here as we touch a break for you to handle that. I got some water here. I know you've been chugging some caffeine. Maybe that'll work.
Go get some more Mountain Dew in the break.
When we come back, we will move on to smarter, more intelligent discussions.
God bless America.
Including the performance of Nick Sesic, the performance of Jaden Hibbert, and the opportunity for, I believe, a trio of debuts. You got Leo Alfonso, Sal Mazzaferro, and Cooper Sanchez, I believe, debuted. Not to mention Sesic as well, who's been here and there. So when we come back, it is John Nelson rubbing his head, drinking some water, getting him healthy.
Stop.
You good?
No.
We're good.
Go to break.
All right, let's go to break. When we come back, more breakdown of Atlanta United. A strong performance, 4-1 in a win over Atlas to wrap up their time in League's Cup. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Atlanta United, 4-1 winners tonight in League's Cup. That gets me excited. Just a little aside here. You know what else gets me a little bit juiced up tonight?
A PR and a 5K?
That would, but I didn't do that today or tonight. They've got these little whirring machines that are spinning out there.
The depaintrifiers.
They're taking paint off the field. I also see these big, long yellow sticks out there, which they're going to assemble in an upright fashion.
I'm aware of this, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the grounds crew is preparing Mercedes-Benz football or Mercedes-Benz Stadium for football.
American football.
Football.
I was going to say.
And I feel they're like getting ready for a Falcons game.
You need a trumpet fanfare or something.
Something. I mean, it's here. And it's been a while since we've seen them convert the field, but they're converting the field. So Falcons season preseason begins on Friday. Game right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And, of course, also right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Check.
We're going to hear from Brooks Lennon in just a moment, but I do want to talk about Nick Sesic. This is a guy that is now with the team for the remainder of the season. And we saw last match some of the concern and issues at center back, depth there. This is a guy that is going to play along the back line, although today was on the right wing back versus any sort of center back semblance.
Yep.
Had the assist late in a
gorgeous
68th
ball.
Minute. Really nice ball. To Kamen Togashi, who put one home. And you were, Maddie, were talking about him midway through the match, like, hey, we're gonna try and find a way to get this guy into a man of the match discussion.
He's right there.
He was, and I was wondering, but what did you see from Nick in his start today and potentially what he can add for you moving forward?
He looked at home. He looked even with the competition. He did not seem to be intimidated. He didn't seem to be a step slow. He wasn't hesitant in his activity at all. He was ready to face what was going on in front of him, and the stats bear it out. Played the full 90, had the one assist, and all these different categories defensively where he registers. Three clears, one block, one pick, one tackle, one dribble pass, 4 of 8 on his duels on the night. Fouled once, 49 touches, 93% passing at 27 of 29, 2 key passes, 2 crosses, a long ball. All of those different categories, offensively and defensively, for Nick Sesic tonight. Obviously, some of the offensive numbers were tied to the goal with Kamen Togashi, but not afraid of his surroundings, jumped right in. You saw him communicating with Saba on the right-hand side. Hey, you know, I'll do this, you do this. Felt right at home, and it showed out tonight.
Yeah, when I talk, and we're going to talk about some of the other youngsters that popped onto the field as well, because I don't you know me. I don't do the stats the same way you do. I think it's important is that you viewed today Nick Cesic as an offensive lineman. And what I mean by that is you didn't talk about him.
Right.
And that's good news, right? You never talk about an O-lineman until they make a mistake.
Right.
They hold, they cause a fumble, they allow a guy to beat them, and it's a sack. You never talk about them when they're doing their job. And that's how I viewed Cesic tonight. Up until the assist, of course, and then you start talking about him on the other side, right, in the positive. But you didn't look at your right wing back and say, oh, boy, it's a youngster. Mm-hmm. He looks lost.
No.
He's panicking on the ball. He's not ready defensively. Any of the discussions you maybe were concerned about or
you didn't say that about any of the back lines.
No, but we're talking about him right now. Yeah. I tend to agree with you, and we'll get to the rest when we get to him. But, yes, that's how I view it, is he did a very good job because he didn't stand out. Again, mm-hmm. until the 68th minute, we had that beautiful ball for the assist.
Mm-hmm.
Now you stand out in the positive. But the fact that you can kind of disappear into just another member of a team that's winning 4-1, I think is good news. Another guy that I thought played relatively well, probably didn't talk very much about, is Brooks Lennon. I know he did pick up a yellow card, as did essentially half of your roster.
Yeah.
Still want to talk about that
in
a moment.
I know you do. I know.
In a little bit.
I know.
But Brooks Lennon caught up post-game with Madison Cruz.
How's it been playing on the left side for a couple of games now?
Yeah, it's different. You know, it's a position that I have to get used to. You know, it's not my natural position, but you know, I have to do what the coach, you know, wants for me. And, you know, if he wants me to play on the left and he thinks that, you know, that's what's best for the team, then, you know, I'll do it. And, you know, I think everyone knows, you know, my versatility, you know, not just here in Atlanta, but around the league. You know, I can play right back, left back, you know, right wing, left wing. So, you know, I think that helps me, you know, overall as a player to become better.
What kind of opportunities does it open up being on that side and then getting back to your right foot?
Yeah, like you said, getting it back to my right foot and, you know, maybe whipping in crosses to the back post and being a danger there. And, you know, at times being able to dribble inside, you know, and open up the field. Yeah, and I think defensively tonight, you know, I was happy with my performance. I felt like I was very solid. So just have to build on that because that's what you know, Ronnie wants from me is, you know, just continued solid defensive performances. And, you know, then I'll be in the team sheet.
We've seen it in the last two games, you and Luke connecting on that left side. How has it been building that connection in the short time?
Yeah, it's been great. I spoke to Luke after the game today, and he was super pleased with, you know, our connection. You know, I think every single movement and pass, we were on the same, you know, wavelength. So we're really starting to create that bond on the left side of the field. And he's a great kid, so I'm really happy for him. Good. Thank you, guys.
Lennon, Luke, and the life O'Reilly on the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side, Cesic, Sleash, and Saba. You saw those little societies that we talk about. And with Brooks, outside of the match previous in Leagues Cup, he did have one appearance in an Atlanta United uniform at left back. It was back in 2019 against Columbus. So Brooks mentions his versatility mm-hmm. here. So not entirely foreign playing left back, but you're seeing once again these associations and these relationships. And he mentions having the conversations with Luke and after the match and things like that. And so out of necessity, you find invention. And right now you've seen that with Brooks Lennon two times out.
Yeah, and the other thing with Brooks, and you know, You probably the answer would be zero, I guess, because Goose was always wearing the armband until recently. I don't know how many times he's officially been captain of this team, but he's always had a little bit of that leadership quality. And now with so many youngsters on the squad here, John, it's an opportunity, again, even if he's not wearing the band, to provide that role, to be a veteran and help develop and help lead these guys. And obviously performances above him on the field were always going to reflect good on him as well. And so I'm not surprised at all to see him taking up that role. We talked a little bit about Nick Cesic. When we come back, we will hear from Nick. He joined Maddie and Jason as well. So we'll hear from Nick. I also want to ask you about the guy between the pipes tonight, mm-hmm. Jaden Hibbert. Very strong performance. We'll hear from him as well. So still a lot more to come here. It is the full-time report. John Nelson, Abe Gordon on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the full-time report. John Nelson there, Abe Gordon here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United, 4-1 winners
hit
in
that
Leagues
high note.
Cup over Atlas. Their time in Leagues Cup has come to an end, unfortunately, but not before they picked up a victory, and you feel good about that a little bit heading into back into MLS play, 10 matches remaining, a lot of work to get there if you have any semblance of getting into and above the playoff line. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $4,000. We talked a little bit, quite a bit, about Nick Cesic. He was able to join some of the media, including Madison Cruz and Jason Longshore, shortly after the match.
You and Kamen have worked really well together with the twos as well. I mean, coming on, seeing that connection, how has that relationship grown?
Yeah, just I think everything, like you say, with the connection, it starts off the field, like we spoke about before. And just the banter that we have, and we smile, we laugh, we joke, and, you know, that always translates onto the field. So I'm super pleased for him. He's a great dude, and he deserves it. So.
You talked to us a little bit in our 1v1. You talked about Chris Henderson coming over and bringing you as well. What does it mean for him to have that faith in you and then to see it pay off today, getting your first start with the first team?
Yeah, he's a guy that, you know, believes in me. It's that one person that you need to like you, and he brought me in, and I told him I wouldn't disappoint him. So
you were a big part of a collective moment today with a lot of guys in the twos getting their debuts. Can you talk about what that meant for all of the squad?
Yeah, all of us. I mean, I know the guys even at home that don't get the opportunity, like, they're super pleased. We just have a really connected, you know, unit of the twos, and everybody's happy for each other. I know that, so.
How important is that connection, especially with Jose Silva and that coaching staff with Bruce Sharp? How has it been in helping your development here in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, with good people around you, you just naturally become a better person and a better player. So just, again, surrounding yourself with people like Jose and all the rest of the guys, you're destined for it.
How much does it mean to you in the summer to make your MLS debut, to have an assist tonight, earn the contract? What does it all mean to you?
It means absolutely everything. It's definitely an emotional time for my mom and my family, and it's just a lot of years of hard work, but, you know, now it's just begun. But I'm super excited to see where it goes. So.
It means everything. Emotional time for my mom and my family.
Yeah, and I think, awesome. More importantly, a lot of people probably feel there's a real future there. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes you see guys come up and you're like, all right, we got through tonight with this guy, but yeah, I don't know exactly what this guy's producing for the club. This is another one, and there's no shortage of them, especially left-back, right-back positions where you've just churned them out recently, and a lot of them have moved on very quickly, obviously, especially at the left-back position.
Left-back you, baby.
But he's another one that you saw tonight, and he got the deal and came in, and you and I were talking before break. Hey, how's the lineup look for Montreal? Hey, there's some real, real tough decisions.
But you
to be
want
made.
That though. You want the tough decisions.
Well, look, we're dealing. I've been out at Falcons training camp. They got position battles there. Nickel, safety. There's some position battles right now on this team. I think left attacking is definitely a discussion.
Or just attack either side. I mean, yeah.
Either side, yeah. I think right back and left back. There's some real discussions
And then you add into the players. Yes, Nick Cesic is in this discussion. Then you add in what you're looking at with Mihai coming in. You're looking for a better call to come in when he is able to. Leo Afonso getting integrated. He got a cup of coffee tonight. So These are the decisions that you want to have. You want to have difficult decisions. And when you have someone like Nick Cesic who is coming in, and I thought that it was
I thought it was really cool when they asked about the faith that Chris Henderson has in him, bringing him up from Fort Lauderdale, because that's where the stadium is, from Messi and friends, to be a part of all of this discussion where it's him and it's, you know, Big Sal. And Sal got some minutes tonight as well, and Ryan Carmichael a part of the discussion with the twos. When you have someone, seriously, when you have someone who has faith in you and believes in you, that sends you miles further than you could any other way. And for Nick to acknowledge and let us know, obviously, that Chris Henderson has the faith in him to bring him up from Messi and friends and Fort Lauderdale to be a part of things here, that's the next step in that process. To see a match like tonight for Nick Cecik where he proves he belongs. Now what's next?
Well, and I think that's the question. I think the one thing that can be difficult when you have this numbers crunch is you don't want a guy to put out a performance like that and then disappear for a month.
But you are looking at schedule compression, and you are looking at Nick playing a full 90. You've got to gauge the quick turn and see where he is going up to Stade Saputo. I mean, obviously, you sit there and you look at Nick. Nick, how you doing? I'm fine. Yeah, that's going to be the answer. But obviously, the physios and the data are going to keep an eye on that too. You know, Nick's gonna want to play tomorrow. He's going to want to play on Friday. He's going to want to play on Saturday. He'll play on Sunday. He'll play, you know, twice on Tuesday. It doesn't matter right now. But to have these kinds of nights proves to the front office about the investment that they've made and the faith that they have in folks like Nick Cecik going forward.
When we come back here on the Full-Time Report, we are going to wrap things up, including a discussion that Maddie had with Kenny Miller. How much of what we saw tonight can transfer to Saturday in a return to MLS play? John Nelson's going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it as well. Stay tuned. 5 minutes. The Full-Time Report continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Ah, attaboy, Dom.
Welcome back in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Final couple minutes, both for this show and for this stadium as a soccer pitch, because half of that upright, and that one, they're getting into a vertical position, baby.
I'm aware of this.
They're almost there. Atlanta Falcons play on Friday night right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as well. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about a 4-1 victory for Atlanta United, their first win since late May, as I mentioned earlier. Goals from Jamal Thierry, penalty spot. Mm-hmm. Alexi Moranchuk, Luke Brennan on the assist.
Alexi Moranchuk, sir.
Yeah, very nice. Saba on a very nice free kick, and Kamen Togashi with a tip of the cap to Nick Cecik with a beautiful ball sent in from the right side. 4-1 win over Atlas. They do not advance in League's Cup, but they do pick up a win over a Liga MX squad. The standings right now in League's Cup are pretty interesting from the MLS side
of
things.
It is chaos.
Inter Miami has moved on. I would say Orlando's in decent position with 7 and a +6 goal differential.
Right.
But they're not a lock either. It certainly helps that Minnesota right now is eliminated. That game is now final, so Minnesota's not going to get the required points.
Nope.
Seattle tonight, that game kicks off in 15 or 20 minutes. Yeah, they could jump up. Portland right now, if they hold their 1-0 lead, they would be advancing. And then there's a bucket load of teams who still are on 4. Cincinnati, New York Red Bulls, and the Galaxy. Yeah, and so a couple of spots still open. 4 teams competing for 2 spots from the Liga MX squad. So the one we do know, though, is Inter Miami has advanced. So congratulations to them. One more youngster I do want to talk about who I don't think we'll probably be seeing on Saturday night, Jaden Hibbert. Second appearance, second start for Atlanta United. I thought he was very good in his first start. I thought he was very good tonight. Wasn't necessarily challenged a ton, but for the most part rose to the occasion
It was when there were bulk buy.
There were a dangerous ball here or there. He does let a golazo of a free kick by, and I don't think you can blame him for that one.
Yeah.
But I thought he performed well. 9 saves. Got a little, you know.
But that's what
provided some entertainment for the home fans when the ball was at his feet.
For those who have not had the chance to watch Atlanta United 2 this season or listen to the matches, this is Jaden Hibbert. Jaden Hibbert is your sweeper keeper. He'll go out 30, 35, 40 yards from goal. He'll help things out at the back line. There'll be moments where he will progress too far in trying to try and be aggressive in his defense. But he also has no problem handling working with his feet with the ball going forward.
I would say there was some problem.
Oh, yeah.
I would say there was some.
Well, there was the one instance that you're trying.
One directly should have been a goal, and then there were a couple that he recovered.
And this is what you see with Jaden Hibbert as he is learning, and he is in a great environment to learn these things and to learn when to advance.
If you're going to make a mistake, it's nice to make it up for nothing.
Right.
Let me just put it that way.
So 9 saves on the night for Jaden Hibbert. He had 6 saves from inside the box and then 54 touches, 77%, 5 long balls completed tonight as well. So this is what you're seeing as Jaden Hibbert continues to learn, and this is why he was drafted by Atlanta United, and you're seeing him once again, people learning in real time, Jaden Hibbert getting to do that against a Liga MX competition.
And I think to your point, there are some allowances for that. Certainly, it's a game that we talked about. You're not advancing, they're not advancing. It's a perfect opportunity for him, and quite frankly, hopefully a mistake he never makes again, and that's how you grow. You only grow by learning, by making those mistakes and readjusting from them. Look, this was the most fun that many Atlanta United fans have had in 2 or 3 months. A 4-1 win. At one point, you were up 4-0 in this game. But at the same time, it was a situation where you knew you weren't advancing win or draw or lose. And now things ramp back up into meaningful action. And I think the question is how much of what we saw tonight can transfer to Saturday in MLS action against Montreal. I think you talk about some of the players we saw, what the lineup might look like. Is there such a thing as momentum, and does it carry over from competition to competition? I think the mindset, I think the feeling of winning,
the rhythm
I think
of it,
feeling
yeah.
like you're in the lead, feeling like you're controlling a game.
Yep.
Because, and look, I'll talk more about this with Maddie on Saturday. Montreal's dreadful. Like, they're a terrible team. And so you'd like to feel and see some of the same things you saw tonight on Saturday.
Yeah, and you get to see Efren Morales, who has hopped into a situation at the back, and he has turned into an instant starter for interim coach Marco Donadel. And it is just, it's a challenge for Montreal right now finding goals. But obviously that's going to start with Prince Owusu. And he has been a great find for them, and I think that that's going to be assignments 1, 2, and 3 is trying to prevent Prince Owusu from burning you as he has in the past.
Yeah, they've scored, I think, 23 goals on the year. He's got 11 of them, so he's certainly the mainstay there. And fascinated to see what the lineup's going to look like. You'll have Ronnie Dyler returning to the sidelines there. And they're going to take – they've got to make these decisions relatively quickly because – you've only got a couple days before you're hitting the plane up north of the border, checking the passports, and getting things done there. But certainly some discussions position-wise that you and I had a couple of moments ago. All right, that's going to do it for the full-time report. Join us again at 6:30 on Saturday, August 9th. It's my dad's birthday on Saturday.
Mazel tov.
For our next broadcast, as Atlanta United will take on CF Montreal as they return to MLS play. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer
in studio.
And to John Kramer, our on-site
Thank you,
engineer.
Legend.
For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta
Thank
United.
You, Mike and Jason.
And for Madison
Thank
Cruz,
you, Madison.
And you, John Nelson,
Thank
of
you,
Soccer
me.
Down here. I'm Abe Gordon.
Thank you, Abe.
Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 4.
4.
And Atlas 1 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.